Faces, please. The dance is about to begin.
Hey, yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Aaron bringing you Food for Thought, Volume 64, here with the Semi-Social Life of a Black Introvert podcast. Hope y'all having a beautiful week, a week of change, of expected change. Whatever some things are that are going on in your life, I hope that you have an outlook of change, of growth. We're in 2020, we're still in a pandemic, all of us around the world, but you know, things are changing. And change is often seen in our vision. We have to have the insight in order to have the eyesight for change. And so recently, to be real with you, I've had to expand my vision. I've had to really look within self and sort of see, what is it that I need to do? What's my purpose? What's the area of fear that I refuse to go into because I lack the faith to get it accomplished? That's insight. Once I was able to sort of go into those dark places and some of those places that are fully lit and the dark places, it helped me expand my vision. It helped me see that, yeah, things are tough, but you know what? Tough times are made for creative people. Leadership is needed in tough times. My vision had to expand. We talk a lot about change in this world, how things need to change, how certain government systems need to change, how society needs to change, and norms need to change, and education needs to change, and what we're missing is ourselves. We're calling for change, but really we need to pick up the call that we're calling. We're making the call to change, and why aren't things changing? Well, because you got to pick up your own phone call. You know, we talk about it a lot here on this podcast, that when we realize that help is not on the way from the top down, help is here when you show up. You are your own 911. You are your own fire department. You are your own Navy SEAL. You're the army for your household. You are your own minister. Your own preacher. You are that person. You have to pick up your own phone call and create change. You have to answer the call. We're looking toward people who aren't going to pick up. We're looking toward individuals who are so selfish. They're motivated by their own gain. We're asking them to do something that they are not equipped to do, because even though they're in the position to do it, they don't have the heart to do it. And so instead of wasting time and energy and expecting something different out of these individuals, I mean, yes, let's hold them accountable, but also let's hold ourselves accountable too. My friend and business partner, Kevin Jenkins Jr., who I've started this online high school and college student mentoring program, which essentially is like life coaching for high school and college students. We found that a lot of students are struggling with the mental aspect of this pandemic. And so we've created this online forum in which they receive coaching from Kevin and I about life, how to proceed through life and try to get that 4.0 life GPA, how to be satisfied with self. And so if you know of any students that need that type of help, please reach out to me, because we all need someone to talk to and to encourage. And with this business that Kevin and I started called Power Leadership Movement, LLC, we provide that for the students. But anyway, Kevin, you know, he was talking to my son. My son is 9 years old. And my son asked him, Mr. Kevin, did you vote? Did you vote for the president here in the United States? Who did you vote for? And so Kevin looked at my son and he said, you know, I voted for myself. And he explained to my son that no matter who he voted for, even though I know who he voted for. He said, regardless of who you vote for, you have to vote on yourself. You have to believe that change starts with you. That the power lies within yourself. He told my son, he cast a ballot for his belief in the next 4 years that change will come through him. And I respect that. I honor that. And that's something that I completely understand. I may have put a ballot for a presidential nominee. But, you know, I put more stock and more confidence in the vision that I have than what they do. So let me ask you this. Are you voting for yourself? Did you submit a ballot for your dreams? For your pursuits? Are you calling on yourself to lead the change? Or are you putting more faith in those that just won't do the job? I want to encourage you to vote for yourself and be the change that you know this world needs to be. This world has so many leaders, but this world does a great job of knocking leaders down and discouraging leaders from actually stepping up. But this is our time. There's no better time to be alive than right now if you are a leader and you are passionate and you're looking to create change. So step up. Step out, let your voice be heard, let your vision expand, and walk in the power and the authority of who you truly are. Y'all, I'm sitting here and it's late, and I just got done editing a paper for one of my students who I haven't seen her probably in about 6 months, but she knows that she can always hit me up and look over a paper and give her some, you know, words of advice and encouragement as she prepares to go to college next year. And I have so many students like that. And as I was typing this paper and looking it over and making some revisions, I had a sort of a duality of feelings. One, I am proud that they can call upon me. She always says, thank you. She knows that she is special to me. She knows that no matter what happens, what time, I'm going to look over the paper. I'm always there. And I value that because, you know, I understand that there are so many youth that don't have someone outside of their family to invest in them and to encourage them and push them and help them and motivate them. And I could be that person. I'm honored to be one of those people in her life. I'm honored that she will call me to help. But then the duality hits, in which I haven't worked in 7 months. And the academic center and the community of students that I'm used to being around, I haven't been around them in 7 months, and there's some heartache there. There is definitely some heartache. I have to go back to work in 2 weeks on December 1st. Did you hear the way I said that? December 1st. You could tell by my voice, I really don't want to go back. Not because I don't enjoy my job. There's some aspects I don't like, but I do find purpose there. But listen, when this pandemic hit, it affected me emotionally And I have to go down this road. It affected me in a way of, I saw the thing that I built and that I was a part of, this group of students, this group really is a family, this family of individuals that I grew close to for 7 years. A group that we would have family dinners. We would say, I love you. We would give hugs. We would just sit and talk. These beautiful, wonderful students. We created magic. We created a community we created family in an environment and neighborhood that needed family. And I talk about it a lot, but because it's really near and dear to my heart, you're talking about students from 20 to 30 different countries, mostly East or West African, coming together every day after school. And we build, we support, we hold each other up. Sometimes there are arguments, but we settle the arguments. At the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, we know we're family. And so when this pandemic hit, it hit so quickly that there wasn't a chance to say goodbye. I didn't have a chance as the leader of the group to say, I'll see you later, because I don't know when later is. It's like 1 minute we were together, the next minute our center closed and we scattered. And we still talk, but it's not the same. It's not the same dynamic, and I miss that people dynamic. Yeah, I'm an introvert. So when you hear an introvert saying that he misses the people dynamic, that should let you know just how special that group is. I learned so much. I was taught so much. Every day being around those students and being around that family unit, I was poured into in such a positive way emotionally. There's few things that are more special than being around a group of encouraging people. I was talking to one student the other day, and I told him, you know, being there, being in that environment, being in that place in which we were, being in that family is one of the few places outside of my own home in which I truly just felt comfortable, in which I felt cool being me, like okay being me, which I didn't feel judged, in which I didn't feel like someone's giving me like the stink eye or what's this black dude doing here or what's he talking about. I felt like I could just be and exist. I know I taught those students so much, but listen, they taught me so much. That's what family does. And not having that environment for 7 months, you know, I feel the emotional toll. Their presence means the world to me, but their voices and their words, man, I miss it. I miss the conversations. I miss the pick-me-ups. I miss the I love yous. I just miss them. And so as I head back to work in the next couple of weeks, in which, you know, we could be facing another shutdown in this nation. Who knows? Our numbers, our coronavirus numbers are rising each day. There seems to be no plan from the presidential leadership in this country. And so I expect us to shut down. But even if we didn't, the students can't be in the library in the way that they used to be. Many of them have to work from home. It's not going to be the same. And so I am somewhat dreading going back. And there is an emotional toll that I'm trying to get through. I am really trying to get through. I've recognized what it is. Now that I recognize what it is, like how... what are you going to do about it? And I'm figuring that out right now. What am I going to do about it? One of the things I'm going to do is that I am going to start a, I am going to have a community center here in the Columbus, Ohio area. My plan is to have that open next year. I really want a community center to do the same things that I did in the academic center, which is located in a library, but to do it on a deeper level. To do it on a level that isn't as regulated by people that don't understand community and culture. And so I plan on having that community center going starting next year. But also, you know, this online high school and college student life coaching program has really helped focus me during this pandemic year. Spent the last 7 months at home, but in reaching out and doing that program and starting that program, it's allowed me to sharpen my skills, keep my skills sharp, to keep my mind motivated. Listen, I'm great with working with young people, really people in general, and just motivating them and being in a community of people that invest in one another. I love that element. I can build that dynamic anywhere I go. And so starting this this program has been really beneficial and has really kept my eyes on the proverbial prize. So I'm building. I am also using this podcast as another tool and as another avenue to create change and to really reach out and stretch out in this world in faith. This podcast has been a godsend and it's been a blessing for me to connect with you all and for you all to hit me up with messages and just, man, without it, I don't know where I would be in this pandemic. We've talked about so many different issues over this past year, issues that have been tough to talk about and to converse about, but here we are. Some of these episodes have been painful, but you all have walked with me. Listen to me. Encourage me. And provided me with a lot of that same love that my students gave me. It's a beautiful thing how this world works. This world will feed you when you need to be fed. Sometimes in unexpected places and from resources and sources that you aren't familiar with, but when the food comes in, when the love comes in, when the wisdom comes in, it's got to chew on it and really consider it a blessing. This past week, I was able to release one of my podcast extras episode. I recorded this. It's like a snippet. Probably about a month ago when I was hearing everyone talk about black women save this country. And listen, I got tired of hearing about it. It rubbed me the wrong way. And so I didn't know where to fit it in. So I just recorded from the heart and released it. Post-election, post Kamala Harris being the vice presidential nominee and elected into office prior to what we saw out of Georgia and just Stacey Abrams just completely leading and changing that state. Prior to all of these powerful women of color and black women leading the charge in the election and really changing the course of this country through their power and their willingness and their voice to vote. And so when I look at black women, this episode that I did last week was not a shot at them. It was an applause to the black women in this country and historically black women that have led silently. Black women that have led with their voices and yet have been overlooked. Black women that have been the backbone of this country and yet have had their backs, have had backs turned on them. This episode last week was addressing the behavior of this nation. How convenient it is to call on black women to come and clean up your mess. And by this mess, I mean this White House. It's a call of convenience in some ways. I think sometimes it could be well-intentioned and it means well. But this country has historically called on black women to clean up its mess, whether it be in-house, on plantations, or being called as the help in the 1900s, in which black women would leave their own houses and their own homes and go take care of white houses as maids, as doing the work around the house and raising the children, just as they did when black women and black men were enslaved. Taking care of the home. You are the help. You do everything around the house. You clean up the mess that that mom, dad, that the baby leaves. Come and clean up our mess. And yet here we are in the year 2020 and the country still calling on black women to clean up the White House. This country is calling on black women to clean up what it can't clean up itself. How disappointing is that? Let me say this. Black women did not elect President Donald Trump. It wasn't black women. It wasn't black men. It was half of white America. Actually, a little bit more than half. But I'll leave that alone. It was white America. It was that more than half of white America that voted him into his position as president. And yet things got messy. The White House is a mess. This country is a mess. And so instead of learning how to clean up this mess, some of this country said, you know, bring on the black women. They'll take care of it. They always do. They always do. They have the ability to clean it up. We don't know what we're doing. Save us, black women. Save us from ourselves. Save this country from itself, black women. Let me tell you, black women have the power to do a lot of things. Black women can change this world. How do I know that? Because they do. Black women can change this nation. How do I know that? Because they do. Black women can change a diaper. How do I know that? Because they do. I've seen it. But eventually, instead of just calling on black women to lead and to change, this country needs to learn from black women. This country needs to learn and observe the heart of black women. The intelligence of black women, the wisdom of black women. Don't just call and say, help me. And you don't put yourself in the position to learn from your mistakes, to learn from your actions. Don't just call for help when it's convenient. It seems really convenient right now, at least for me. Will you call when you don't need help? Will you call upon black women when this country is not in a dire situation? Will you call to check in on black women when they need help? Will you invest into the lives of Black women in the communities in which they live? Will you acknowledge the poor treatment of Black women in this country? Will you acknowledge that Black women statistically or more likely to die during childbirth than white women because the pain of Black women is often not acknowledged? Their symptoms are not treated. Black women seem to disappear until this country needs them to clean up a White House. Black women have cleaned up white houses since the first enslaved people entered into this or were forced into this country. Cleaning up the White House in 1619 looks very similar to cleaning up the White House in 2020. And it looks similar not because of who was cleaning, but because of who was asking for help. I'm proud of my Black sisters, Black women out there leading. I truly am. I mean, it's amazing. But we have to learn. If Black women teach, what's the point of them teaching if we don't learn? If this nation does not learn from the wisdom, from the heart of Black women. Black women aren't just the help. If we don't learn, that's what we sort of relegate Black women to. You're just the help. You're here to help. Then when we don't need your help, here in this White House, you can go back to your shabby conditions. You can go back to your environment. You can go back to where you came from. Until we need to call you again. This country, its citizens, really this world needs to acknowledge the plight, acknowledge the presence and the power of Black women. And after you do all of that, listen and observe their actions. Watch their moves. Take some notes. Have a conversation or two. Build a relationship. Put these women in positions of power and actually glean from their power, from their experiences. Instead of just calling when it's convenient, the convenient call. No one wants to be the convenient call in a relationship, because generally those relationships are relationships in which one side is being used. And we've seen that enough. So for all my woke friends, I know this may be a message that won't get me invited to the woke picnic. But listen, I don't eat kale anyway. I don't. So I probably won't go. If I went, I probably wouldn't eat that much. I don't do kale and I don't do sparkling water. I'm good. But I love you anyway. And just like I had an episode dedicated to the Christian Evangelical Church and their alignment with this president, this is just a short message of accountability to you. Look for Black women to lead, acknowledge Black women leading, but you know what? Learn from their leadership. Learn from who they are as individuals, as women. Glean from the group. Black women, they're not super women. They don't have to be. And this country doesn't need them to be. If it learns how to take responsibility and clean up the mess of its own white house. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. As always, be well.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. The journey is over.